New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And I'm Josh. So we're going to be talking about some sneaky journalistic tricks that they use to try and get you to accept premises that you wouldn't otherwise accept and believe things that you wouldn't otherwise believe. And I'm sure that you're all aware of the mainstream media being a bit rubbish, but I think it's important to point out some of these tricks so they don't subtly subvert your understanding of the world, because it's still important to read what they're saying because it has weight and influence in the world.
Yeah, we all kind of have this idea of, yeah, journalists are sneaky, journalists are liars. And that's very true. Let's not get that wrong. But it's also, it's important to be able to apply yourself critically to understand how they're lying and how they're maybe manipulating language so that you can understand the intentions behind it.
And we're going to be having a bit of fun with this as well. So I'm going to be reading out the articles, and both you at home and Harry here in the studio going to try and guess what's wrong with what I've read. Sometimes it'll just be the headline, sometimes it'll be the body of the article, but nevertheless, we're going to be making it a bit more fun.
Yeah, I don't have my notes here, so it's going to be like a little game show for everybody at home, and you can join in. And I can see we're starting off with a very simple one, by the looks of it, from the Daily Beast. I wouldn't expect any less from them.
So I've picked out a particularly extreme version here because it's just so bad. So it's titled, "Law Enforcement Has an Extremist Problem in Its Own Backyard."
With a nice big red stamp saying, "It's getting worse."
To be fair, that's the tagline of our podcast, isn't it?
It might as well be at this point.
That was Hugo's phrase for a long time when first started, "It gets worse."
Yeah, it's before my time, Hugo.
But it reads, or at least the part that I want to draw attention to reads, "If the FBI and the Department of Justice truly want to protect their agencies and officers from violent attacks, they must finally confront the white supremacist and violent MAGA extremists that exist within law enforcement. Ever since the search and seizure of highly classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, the right-wing ecosystem has continued to amplify former President Donald Trump's conspiratorial lies about the so-called deep state. As a result, there's a giant target on law enforcement agencies."
Oh, there's so many things wrong with that. For one, giant target on law enforcement agencies, as if the left weren't, you know, pushing that target for the past few years themselves. And now, of course, when the institutions are doing what they want, suddenly they're our boys, they're on our side. You can't be undermining the sanctity of our blessed FBI, because they've always been the good guys, haven't they? So do you want me to just go with what else is wrong with that?
Of course, yeah.
Right. Okay, so no mention of any of the contention with the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. No mention of the fact that they didn't find anything, first of all, which you would think would be a relatively important thing to note in this article. The search and seizure of highly... No, they were specifically going after supposed nuclear secret documents that he'd been keeping in a safe in his Florida home at Mar-a-Lago. You know, as any well-meaning and intelligent supervillain would do, you know, just keep it in some random house you own. But no, they didn't find anything, so that's important to note that they missed that out. Pushing the idea that it's a conspiracy that there is a deep state when Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious in the very fact that they went to seize documents at his home.
It is dismissing it out of hand, yeah, basically. Conspiratorial lies. Well, the point of a deep state is that you don't necessarily know it's there. So the language used there expresses a level of certainty that they can't possibly have.
No, of course not. And then also the fact that the two paragraphs don't actually follow on from one another. The first paragraph is talking about white supremacy and violent MAGA extremists within law enforcement, when really we all know that all the FBI does is find these people online and then radicalize them further and give them a load of money to go out and commit terrorist attacks. But no, they point out, you know, white supremacy, MAGA in law enforcement, but then they go on immediately to praise law enforcement, that same agency, for doing what they want, for upholding the regime's wishes, for upholding the agenda. And of course, there is no evidence that they've provided in any of these statements for actual white supremacy or MAGA extremism, because we all know the FBI was so completely on Trump's side in the run-up to the 2016 election. So yeah, it's just very deceptive.
What I've got here, the things that I picked out in particular, were white supremacist and violent MAGA extremists, because of course, how can you make that assertion about everyone that voted for Trump?
They want to make America great again then, basically 9/11 part two.
Extremists, it's a very subjective term, you've got to clarify it. White supremacist obviously is a serious accusation that they've just thrown in there. They don't provide any evidence for these strong assertions that you would want to back up with evidence. They're basically making lots of claims that they can't back up. Also, highly classified documents. We don't know whether they were highly classified or just classified, because surely this Daily Beast journalist would not have access to the highest level of security in the documents. So how would they know whether they were high security or not? I mean, it's an absurd thing to say. And
One of the other things is, because the two, like I mentioned, the two paragraphs don't actually lead into one another, what the first paragraph sets up is more a tonal setup, which is it gets you prepped to associate white supremacy and violent extremists with Donald Trump without actually having to do any of the work to prove the connection there.
And of course, it says conspiratorial lies about the deep state, which we mentioned. John has on screen here, Trump has clearance for everything and can declassify anything he wants. Clearance is for life.
Oh, very interesting.
Well, yes, former presidents have the ability to be briefed by intelligence chiefs until they die. So it's a weird grievance. It's more that, oh, you're not allowed to have the documents at most. Well, a very small thing.
An obvious concentrated coordinated attack against Donald Trump.
That was a bit of a low ball. That's an easy one to see what's wrong.
But we wouldn't expect any less from the Daily Beast.
So here's a bit more of an esoteric one. So this is just the headline. Far-right Italian PM hopeful Giorgia Meloni tweets video of woman being raped.
We're just focusing on the headline for this one. Okay, well, obvious missing context, because as far as I'm aware, the reason she tweeted that video was because she was saying, isn't it terrible that such a thing is happening in the streets of Italy?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Which they are completely leaving out. And I don't know anything about this Giorgia Meloni woman other than that. And the association of far right, I mean, if you're reading The Guardian, far right is just a code word for evil Nazi. So it's just saying she's a Nazi who tweeted a video of a woman being raped, which is making the audience reading this think, oh my God, she's laughing at this person.
But no, I've seen the original tweet before Twitter took it down, and the video has a warning in front of it, just like, this is graphic stuff, be warned, that sort of thing. And then the whole thing is censored to the point where you can't really see what's going on. It's just a street and a pixelated blob.
Yeah, she's trying to be sensitive about it while drawing attention to it, whereas this is trying to kind of smear her character and make her seem callous and uncaring.
The point of her tweeting out was actually that it was a Ukrainian refugee that was in Italy.
Oh,
and
really?
It was an African migrant that raped her. So she was a guest in their country, and she got...
someone who should be under the protection.
So she was lamenting how much of a tragedy it was, and one that was avoidable because they imported a rapist, which is a perfectly valid criticism and one we make quite often ourselves.
Yes.
Being concerned about immigration doesn't necessarily make you far right. mean, look at the Soviet Union. They were pretty concerned about immigration. And
you can get blue labour types who don't want mass immigration purely because it'll depress their wages.
So, yes, just dubbing them far right is just a form of smear. So this one is both the title and a couple of lines in the article. Again, The Guardian, of course. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis attacks media in Top Gun campaign ad. That's perfectly fine title,
right? That's pretty neutral.
Yeah, but it's the body of text that's concerning here. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida on Monday released a campaign advertisement drawing on the movie franchise Top Gun to attack the news media. The ad is the latest stunt by DeSantis to promote far-right talking points before Tuesday's statewide primary and a possible future run for the Oval Office in 2024.
All right, so the word stunt is quite loaded because it implies sort of devoid of any moral character, devoid of any moral content, just purely about the spectacle. Yeah, purely performative and about the spectacle, which is not true because DeSantis, as far as I can tell, honestly believes in the things that he says, which is why he's so effective. And promote far-right talking points, very vague and probably inaccurate. He's probably just saying they want to import lots of rapists into the country. Very true. He's probably also saying they're a bunch of communists. Very true.
I mean, is it a far-right talking point to criticise the media?
No. No, not at all.
What about all the socialists that can complain about all of the right-wing media?
Oh, the Murdoch media.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they're just far-right Nazis as well now.
But yes, what that section was focusing on the use of far-right to try and smear people and make them seem like persona non grata when in reality not that unreasonable.
Well, I'm just going to be honest and say that I dislike the fact that far-right has kind of taken on a negative connotation in the first place, because I think, I mean, I understand from our perspective why far-left has taken on a negative connotation, because we have actual evidence to back up why. But far-right is such a disparate group of people. It can go anywhere from neo-reactionaries to hardline libertarians.
Monarchists.
And none of them are going to have these sorts of ideas of let's just murder the opposition. Whereas a lot of the leftists in practice absolutely do have that idea.
Because the far left tends to be a very homogenous thing, really.
They're all working towards this progressive utopia.
Because it's a part of their ideology that they all share the same common goal and common beliefs, and therefore there's a lot more uniformity to what they believe, and therefore that label makes a bit more sense, whereas in the right it's a bit more disparate because it's not as conformity-seeking, I suppose, is a way of putting it.
It tends to be based around community, but there are different ideas of how those communities can spring up, how they would be ordered and structured, and a lot of the different ideas can actually coexist with one another, whereas none of the far-right ideas could coexist with the far-left ideas, because the far-leftists just want to tear down anything that isn't far-left.
Absolutely. So this next one is personally one of the ones that I found the most egregious. This is terrible journalism. So it's titled, California Congressman Becomes Latest Republican to Invoke Nazis to Defend Trump and Bash Biden. So allow me to read a quote, which is in the actual article itself. The Mar-a-Lago raid was, and I quote here, more like a Third Reich than the United States. So,
I mean, that's actually true.
Yeah. But the difference between what he actually said and the title is what I'm drawing attention to here.
Well, of course, what they're trying to do is imply that he's invoking the Nazis in a positive light.
Exactly, yeah.
And also leftist media criticising others for overusing Nazis as an insult is quite rich. Quite rich.
Especially the LA Times as well. But yeah, that's so obviously presenting it as saying the opposite of what he actually said.
And it's important to note as well that the reason that you want to point out stuff like this happening with the headlines is that when most people, especially normies on Twitter and Facebook, see an article like this, they don't read the article. They'll take the headline extrapolate from there the meaning from it, and the meaning is very clear in this instance, share it on Facebook, and everybody who sees it gets this very one-sided impression of mm-hmm. what's been said.
I mean, even if you read the article, it, unless you know what you're looking for, it's setting you up to have one specific interpretation of what, if you read it with, funnily enough, without any context, it's clear that it's a negative comparison rather than a positive one. But if you read it in the context of the title, then
you might get a different impression.
Exactly, yeah. So moving on to the next one, again from The Guardian. They're not all going to be from The Guardian, I might add, but it is a bit of a gold mine.
The Guardian is a terrible publication, so. Mm-hmm.
So, record profits for grain firms amid food crisis prompts calls for windfall tax. There's already some questions there, but I'm going to read from the body of text as well. So, Olivier de Schutter, a co-chair of EPS Food, International Panel of Experts on Sustainable Food Systems, which is quite a mouthful, and UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights said, the fact that global commodity giants are making record profits at a time when hunger is rising is clearly unjust and is a terrible indictment of our food systems. What's even worse, these companies could have done more to prevent the hunger crisis in the first place. So, another quote which I missed out as well is, they are forecasting demand to outstrip supply at least until 2024, which is likely to lead to even higher sales and profits in the next 2 years. So, what's the problem with this here?
The problem with this, I would not even say, is necessarily intentional, because mm-hmm. the problems that we've pointed out before in one of the premium podcasts we've done is that the left just cannot comprehend economics or economic theory or the laws of economics whatsoever. So this seems to me to more be like the blind leading the blind. They think they're right, but they just are so out of their wheelhouse that they've no idea how wrong they are. So what this is doing is going with the old classic, all corporations is evil, bro, leftist talking point. And, you know, to a certain extent, there is plenty of evidence for there being many evil corporations existing, especially the ones who lobby the government for special privileges and get those special privileges in the form of restricting competition. But outside of that influence, I'm going to ask a question that I asked Nick the other week, which is, okay, if I'm a producer of a particular commodity, and then the government, for whatever reason, maybe geopolitics, maybe war, who knows, bans all of my competitors, but just leaves me alone because I'm domestic, I'm local. And all of a sudden, I get record profits from it. And I've not done anything to lobby the government in this way. This is just the circumstances that have befallen me. Is that my fault that I'm suddenly making record profits? Does it mean that I'm evil because all of a sudden I'm the only place that people can come to for a particular commodity? No. No, it doesn't. So this is just a complete misunderstanding of the situation.
Mm-hmm. I've got here that in scenarios like this that they're describing, the increasing prices act as a form of organic rationing of food. If there's going to be a shortage, well, it's actually better that the prices reflect the actual true supply and demand rather than...
The scarcity needs to be reflected in the price, or else people will think there's an overabundance, which will just lead to shortages.
Yeah, it'll make it even worse if the price isn't higher. So yes, there's going to be greater profits, but it's not necessarily a problem. And it is making it seem as if this...
Well, I will say, I do think it's a problem that the global situation we're in right now has led to the potential scarcity of certain types of food that will leave some in very difficult situations.
Of course, yeah.
But that's not the fault of the producers of the food.
They're whinging about the profits.
This is a problem caused by government. How is a windfall tax imposed by government going to help anybody?
But of course, what they don't mention is the windfall tax. They're just going to make up for the shortfall by raising prices on their grain because they're going to be taxed, and therefore they're going to increase the price even more to make up for the...
Well, that's because they're going to have to survive.
Well, yeah. So it's a matter of framing here, that the record profits supposed as they're being greedy, it's terrible capitalism, But in reality,
you expect no less from The Guardian.
Yeah, in reality, what they're doing is probably a good thing that the prices are going up when the demand is going up.
Yeah, not to linger too hard on the point either as well. You've just got to remember that the tax that they're planning on implementing, they would be, I think there's been talk of, they would be thinking of redistributing some of that money to lower income families so they're better able to feed and clothe themselves over what's probably going to be a difficult winter for a lot of people. That won't get the producers to be able to make any more food than they would otherwise. That's just going to mean that more people are going to have slightly more money with which to cause shortages faster.
But I didn't think that this was an example of them deliberately doing something to try and convince people. I think it's just them viewing the situation through their paradigm, through their worldview, and that leads them to presenting it in a slightly twisted way.
Yes, it's incompetence predicated off of bias.
So this next one's a bit more explicit. House of the Dragon star Steve Toussaint responds to racist viewers. So I'm going to read from the body of text as well.
I was expecting something like this from the New York Post, to be honest.
I know, yeah. It's unfortunate. House of the Dragon star Steve Toussaint spit fire at racist viewers. That's annoying. Not a single
cringe.
Fire.
It's so cringe, the idea of spit fire like he's in some rap battle or something.
It's obviously a playoff of the dragon side of things because it's Game of Thrones, isn't it? I'm going to say spits fire at racist viewers after some raised an issue with his casting as Lord Corlys. I haven't seen
Corlys,
it yet.
I imagine.
Corlys Velaryon in the new HBO series, which premiered on Sunday. The British actor, 57, told Men's Health that several fans said his casting was not true to the book's depiction of members of House Velaryon. It seems to be very hard for people to swallow, said Toussaint, of his character, who is the richest man in Westeros.
No, he's going to... Oh, no, I can see the argument he's making already. Oh,
they
no.
They are happy with a dragon flying. They're happy with white hair and violet-coloured eyes. But a rich black guy, that's beyond the pale.
That's not the complaint. I hate this. This is cancer.
According to the book, Fire and Blood, the source material of House of the Dragon, Lord Corlys is never stated to be white, but is said to have hair that is Targaryen white blonde. When they asked me to stop shaving, I was like, oh no, I'm a big fan of the beard, but it's part of the look. It's striking, he said, of his character known as the Sea Snake. Even if the show doesn't do well, I will look good, and that's what's important.
I mean,
so there's so much wrong with what he's saying, but that's not the focus.
Right.
Obviously, he's a madman.
Yeah, as a nerd. As a nerd, this has made my blood boil, especially as somebody who in particular really enjoys the books that, that the Game of Thrones universe is based off of. So where to start with this? So for one, implying that viewers are racist for purely having a preference for accuracy to the source material.
However, that's not the journalist's fault. That is just what he's saying.
Yeah. It doesn't seem... The main problem here is omission. It's purely reflecting what he's said rather than maybe actually presenting the viewers in a more positive light by pointing out their more, what I would imagine are more detailed
criticisms.
I think
the presumption in the title makes it particularly egregious. That's where it responds to racist viewers.
Yeah, so, and then it carries on in that first line where it calls them racist viewers again.
You could say critics, and that would be a perfectly neutral term. You could still hold the opinion that they're racist, but you're not putting the words into...
You're priming the readers to already agree with Steve, who, you know, I'm sure does a good job in the show, but I think his opinion here is retarded.
Well, yeah, obviously, pointing out that it's not a true casting because black people can't have that colour hair in nature... And well, therefore, it's a weird, jarring thing to see, and it's not true to the source material. That's racism,
well,
is it?
Even then, they're also pointing out, oh, in Fire and Blood, which was the source material, oh, he's never explicitly stated to have a particular skin colour. That's also misleading, because in the books themselves, they always state that Targaryens and the Valyrian family as an offshoot of the Targaryens are all pale skin, and also have the violet eyes and white hair. So... they're missing out that crucial bit of context to make it so that it's very to make it clearer that these racist viewers actually have a point. If you're going for accuracy of adaptation, I could go on about everything else you said for days, but I'll save us.
But yeah, so again, this is framing it in a way where it's trying to mislead you by the presumptions that you go into starting to read the article. John says, I don't want no white men in Chinese ancient fantasy neither. Immersion as well. Yes.
And that's true.
It's all about immersion.
Well, no, that's the thing as well. In the actual source material, there are, you know, geographical areas and cultures where black people do originate from. The Summer Isles, for instance, is where a number of the black characters from the books and the show hail from. So if you wanted to include more black characters, just have a few more characters come from that area. So I'll
I would like to clarify as well, this is a bit of a tangent, but in the kind of 60s and 70s where they got like famous Western actors and made them do blackface or brownface.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, it's just like, that's obviously just a man in makeup. You can tell by the structure of his face. Well, and if they're famous, it's all the more egregious because you're just like, that just looks like...
What was it, Breakfast at Tiffany's, where there's the white guy in the Chinese makeup? He's just playing the most stereotypical caricature. I've not seen it either, but I've seen a few clips from it.
I mean, I'm not opposed to people doing that. But if you're trying to pass it off as authentic... Yeah. Actually, go for the real deal.
I mean, I only just found out the other day. No, because it can work sometimes. Not to be defending this outdated practice
Harry
or anything.
Blackface. Here it is.
It can be quite convincing because I only really just care. Found out that the other day that the guy who plays Tuco in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was a white guy that they just put in brownface.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he fooled me.
It's a bit more convincing, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, given Mexican face, I mean, he looks a bit sleepy. How can you tell the difference?
So this next one is one that you actually directed my attention to. So I'm sure you're aware of the nature of this one. So it's going to be a bit easy for you. But for the people at home, still feel free to have a guess. So a North Texas school district now lets teachers reject children's pronouns, even if parents approve of them. Teachers will not be forced to address students by the pronouns that match their gender identity, even if a parent asks them to. And transgender students will be barred from playing sports after the Grapevine Colleyville Independent School District Board approved two new policies targeting gender identity on Monday night. The new policy also stipulated that individuals in district schools can only use the bathroom that aligns with their sex at birth. It's the latest move by a school board to more formally exclude transgender youth in schools. The board voted, that doesn't make sense. The board vote ended 4-3 in favour of these policies and several others. Board members Casey Ford, Shannon Braun, it's just loads of names of people who voted. That's not necessarily that important, actually. So.
Well, I know what this one is because I sent it to you. It's... once again, omission and the frame game. The frame game being that it's only ever presenting transgender issues in a positive light, and it's not mentioning any of the potential pitfalls that come with letting young people socially transition or, God forbid, medically transition. And then they're missing out the actual concerns highlighted by the parents. They're only highlighting that, oh, there are some parents that are absolutely fine with this happening. Yes, but there are concerns from other parents. They're only presenting the one side of it because journalism in an ideal world is supposed to be neutral. But as we know, in the real world, nothing is ever neutral. And one of the best ways to identify which side they're on is to see which side's argument they're missing out.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, the part that I've singled out of this article is formally exclude transgender youth in schools. Well, the people voting it against calling them by their pronouns, probably going to say, well, they're protecting them from potentially making a life
much
destroying decision. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a false dichotomy between the two sides, really, isn't it?
Also, I don't think any of the votes actually explicitly said, right, we're going to round up the trans kids and march them out of the school and bar them from ever entering again. So there is no way, that's just an outright lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the easiest things you can do is just tell when they're just lying. So that's always a fun one to watch out for.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Moro Casino, America. a social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.